Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock, and we're going to be interviewing a guest here in a few minutes, hopefully, and we're waiting for him to call in yet, but once we get him on the phone, we'll get him on the air here. But it's good to be with you today, and if you were listening earlier, I was also filling in for Pastor John Lutz in the previous program, and that I'll have up on our website eventually. At livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can certainly find out more about us there and just log on livewithpastoral.com. That also links to our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can follow us there, and we try to do a Facebook live broadcast there on that venue as well. Got that up and running, and I will have to apologize in advance that I when our caller gets on, you will not be able to hear him, unfortunately. You'll just be able to hear me, but when we get the audio posted on our website at a later date, that will be available, and you will get to hear that on our website, livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer today, and we'll see what happens. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We pray that you bless the program. Thank you for the opportunity to be on, filling in for Pastor Lutz in the last half hour. Pray that you continue to bless, watch over us, Lord. Use the program today for your glory, and we just want to give you thanks, the honor, and the glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, we've got a number of things that are happening and that are coming up, and just want to remind you to check us out on our Facebook page. I try to get a number of things listed there, different things from time to time. excuse me, if you are following the ACT Cleveland chapter here in Northeastern Ohio, their next meeting is coming up on Monday, and we were hoping to have a guest on, Leo Homan, who is going to be speaking at the next ACT Cleveland meeting. And if you are wanting information about attending that meeting, you can email them, contact the folks at actcleveland@gmail.com. That's actcleveland@gmail.com, and they can give you information on the meeting location and everything, but it's going to be Monday night, and so Monday night, 7 o'clock, so just to contact them at actcleveland@gmail.com, and Leo Homan is going to be speaking there. He's an investigative journalist who's had articles appearing at WorldNet Daily Online and focusing on immigration and Islam, and he's done a number of things investigating this. We were going to talk about a book that he has called Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. Excuse me. And that book, again, is Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. And we talk a lot about this on the program, if you've noticed, over the years. And the reason is because the Bible says we're in a spiritual battle. And we are fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, the Bible says. And when we think about this, we understand that when we see some of the things that are going on in Europe, some of the things going on in the Middle East, some of the things going on in our country, these are outgrowths of the spiritual battle that we are involved in. And this is one of the areas, a friend of mine who has a ministry to reaching Muslims frequently says that the first victims and the largest number of victims of Islam are the Muslims themselves. And they've been taken captive with a false religion that's more than just a religion. It's a way of life that enslaves people, devalues women and children, and it's a very violent religion at its core. And so we see this as an outgrowth of the spiritual battle that we're involved in. And so I like to have some guests from time to time that talk about these issues and give you information that you can use. But at the same time, I don't want people to become overwhelmed with the thought that, oh, we might as well just give up. You know, we understand the threat is real. We have these people who want to destroy our way of life. But looking at it from the Christian point of view, we have to understand that as Christians, we have a very powerful enemy. It's called the devil. And it's not just the devil that's our enemy. We also have the sin nature. In the last program, last half hour, I was talking about man's sin nature outlined in Romans chapter 3 and how the Bible says in Isaiah 64, that there's that our righteousness is as filthy rags, and then Paul reflected that in Romans 3, where he said, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And we have this sin nature, and we also have the world system. The world is under a curse, and that's a result of Adam's sin. The world was put under a curse in Genesis chapter 3. And so we have these three things working against us, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we are in a spiritual battle, and we could get overwhelmed. I mean, there's an effort to destroy Christianity, and Islam is one of those efforts that the devil is using to try and destroy Christianity. And you can look at places across the Middle East where the whole Christian communities have been wiped out, decimated. The population of Christians in many parts of the Middle East, the cradle of Christianity, is just dropped incredibly in the last 100 years, even in the last 50 years. And this persecution of Christians throughout the Middle East and wherever Islam spreads to, it follows in its wake. And that's why people like Leo Homan and others have written extensively on this subject. Just to give you an idea of what's going on, there's a George Soros-backed group that's called the Hijra Initiatives, and it's founded by the Soros Foundation. They are trying to get the European Union, for instance, to accept 540,000 migrants from poor countries. Well, in fact, this is how he puts it here. It says European Union nations should take more than 500,000 refugees currently living in third world camps. And third world camps tells us that we're talking about the refugees that have been displaced by the wars in the Middle East, the result of ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and Hamas and all these other things that are going on there. And they're trying to flood Europe and even to an extent the United States with large numbers of Muslims from the Middle East to go in these areas. Now, some of them genuinely are fleeing from persecution, trying to get away from the terrible conditions under which they live, but they have a significant amount of them that, and this has been documented, and of course, books like the Leo Homan's book, Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest, Immigration, Resettlement, Jihad, books like that bring out the fact that that there's a significant effort using the resettlement of refugees to bring Muslims into parts of the world where Islam is not dominant in order to overcome Christianity in those areas and established Islam as the primary religion and way of life. Because like I said, Islam is more than just a religion. It's a complete way of life. It's a political system. It's an economic system. It's a religious system. It's a social interaction system. It governs everything about your life when Sharia law is put in place, once Islam becomes in the majority in a country. And it's for this reason that you see headlines like this. I just saw this headline. This was a headline from today. In Italy, Muslim migrant crisis sees half of citizens, meaning half of the Italian citizens, quote, feel like strangers in their own country. And this is becoming a greater problem here, feeling like strangers in their own country. Now, here's another article from, let's see if I can find it here. I just had it here just a minute ago. This is another one published just a couple of days ago dealing with Sweden. Swedish no-go zones are getting so bad that residents are scared to leave home. And, you know, this is a sad commentary on Sweden, because in Sweden, they've brought in numbers of refugees from the Middle East, Muslim refugees, and they have established what's effectively these no-go zones where non-Muslims cannot go safely into these areas. Even the police and the first responders are reluctant to go into some of these areas and only go in when they are able to protect each other. They don't go in alone into some of these areas. And yet, we find that 48% of people in some of these areas of Sweden report that they're experiencing insecurity when they're out late at night in their own residential area. And so a lot of people are choosing not to go out anymore. And for instance, the city of Malmo in southern Sweden, they passed the 300,000 mark today, and they're now around 320,000. That number has increased by, let's see, it says in the last year, the number's increased by 6,000. And authorities say that the driving force behind the increase is mass migration, predominantly from Middle Eastern nations. And this is what's happening in Sweden. They're not assimilating into the country. They're not assimilating into the culture. Instead, they're setting up these Islamic enclaves, and non-Muslims are not welcome in those areas. And the Swedish people, like the Italians, are beginning to feel like strangers in their own country. Well, when we look at this, we need to pray, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians, as I quoted before, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we don't want to be overcome with worry and with fear, because certainly as believers, as Christians, we should want to reach out to people as we can with the Gospels, and Muslims are no different. They need to hear the Gospel. They need to get saved. But it can be daunting. It can be intimidating. And that's where Paul writes here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So prayer is an integral part of the armor of God and the spiritual battle that we're involved in. And then Paul says in verse 19, and for me, meaning pray for me. This means pray for those who are serving, those who are proclaiming the gospel. I would ask you to pray for me, just like Paul asked for prayer for himself. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And that's our responsibility. When the devil rises up against us, as he says in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to stand. We need to take a stand and speak boldly, not disappear into the woodwork, hide in the hedges, and when we are faced with these things. We see what's happening in Europe, in parts of Europe. We see the threat that it could be to our way of life in America. But more importantly, we see that we need to contend for the faith that was given to us, the gospel. And we need to remember, as Paul said, he said in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so when we see things like this taking place, this is not a time to go quietly into the night and shirk our duty. This is a time when we're supposed to take a stand and boldly proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at what's happening in Europe, when we look at the Italians and the Muslims that are feeling like strangers in their own country, we need to pray for them. We need to pray that God will raise up people in Sweden, people in Italy, and places like that, that will take a stand and they'll be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I just see that our guest has joined us here, and I want to welcome to our program Leo Homan. And Leo, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we were just talking a little bit about the Stealth Invasion, your book, and I was referencing some articles. One of them, of course, just posted today that was headlined "Muslim in Italy, Muslim Migrant Crisis Sees Half of Citizens Feel Like Strangers in Their Own Country," and also another one that was referencing in Sweden. Let's see, I just had it here. I hit the wrong button and it disappeared. There we go. Swedish no-go zones are getting so bad that residents are scared to leave home. And I think that ties in with the message of your book, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh, it really does, Pastor Al. I wrote the book, as you know, as a sort of warning to America that we only need to look across the Atlantic to see our future.
Right.
We continue on the same path of unfettered immigration at record levels, coming in from all sorts of countries that hate us and refusing to assimilate, demanding certain special rights and privileges. You know, we're not against immigrants per se, but, we do need a well-ordered immigration system,
right?
And we need to limit the number of coming from these places. I would say the proper number is zero, coming from certain places of the country where, you know, they just do not have any intention of assimilating and want to really come and change our country into becoming more like the one that they left.
Right, and that's a far cry because, you know, people try to lump people like yourself and myself into a category. Oh, we're against immigration. We have a fear of people who are not like us. But
right,
the key is the immigration that built this country. People came here and they assimilated. They became Americans, and that's different from what you're talking about, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, my grandparents and great-grandparents came here from Italy and Germany. You know, they weren't always welcomed with open arms. They took the lower, more menial jobs to begin with. But, you know, they didn't come into, a public school and demand my Italian great-grandparents who came here from Sicily, which is poor peasant, if anybody's unfamiliar with Italy. Sicily is pretty much the poorest part of Italy.
Right.
So they didn't come here with a lot of money. They didn't speak any English, but they were willing to do what they needed to do to advance themselves. They learned English quickly, and, they got jobs. They didn't take any welfare off of the American taxpayer. And they certainly did not put their children into public schools and demand Catholic prayer rooms be set up inside the public schools, especially for them. You know, this is what we're seeing with a lot of the Muslim migrants coming from, you know, the Sharia-compliant countries.
Right.
They come and they demand, when they get to a certain number in the school district, that a prayer room be set up inside the public school. We've seen this in Minneapolis. We've seen this in parts of Michigan. We've seen it in Texas. In many other states where they demand a special prayer room inside the public school for their kids to pray five times a day, so you know, or to pray during school hours. So this is the type of thing I'm talking about.
And when we think about this, I guess one person might say, well, in Europe, you know, they have a different attitude towards immigration than what we do. You know, you can move into France and you'll never be French. You'll never be a Frenchman. You know, you'll always be somebody from someplace else. And America's a little different with our melting pot where everything is like this. But these people, like you said, they're coming over here with a goal in mind, aren't they? They're coming over here with a goal of not contributing to America, but changing America and replicating, I believe you said, what they had back home. And tell people about your book, where they can find it. We've got a few minutes to go in the program yet, but...
Sure. The book is called Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. And you can find it on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, WND.com, and really, you know, what we're talking about here is not an anti-immigration book. It is a pro-assimilation book.
Right.
As we were talking about, I do feel like we need to limit the numbers just so that we can help assimilate those who want to assimilate. 1 million per year, I think, is a high number, regardless of where they're coming from, historically, if you look at America's immigration numbers, and that's what we're doing, 1.1 to 1.3 million per year. That's legal. Legal immigration, that's not even including the illegals, that's historically high. I believe we should probably limit that to around 500,000 and be more careful as to which countries that we're inviting people to come from.
And when we look at it, we used to have standards as to who was let into the country. People have done any looking at the history of Ellis Island and all of that. We looked at people, and there was a consideration that we wanted to protect America as well. I mean, we obviously have national sovereignty. We have borders and such not like that. And I appreciate what you're saying. This is not a book against immigration. It's a call for controlled immigration, because that's what built America, isn't it?
It really is, Pastor Al. We've done it before. I think we can do it again. The problem is not that we find only with Democrats, like a lot of conservatives believe. The problem is really wholesale across the aisle. A lot of Republicans believe that something magical happens when somebody, say, from Afghanistan comes to the United States as a refugee. They believe that as soon as they touch down on U.S. soil, get off that plane, something magical happens, and they automatically become respectful of individual rights, of First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, and they automatically become Americans. That's just not the fact. It's very much the same. The Afghan migrant who comes to America acts very much the same is the Afghan migrant who comes to France. There's very little difference. They live in enclaves. They tend to live in enclaves from Somalia, Afghanistan, Sudan, Iraq. You pick the country. They tend to do this and reject constitutional principles, you know, as soon as it becomes convenient.
Well, and we're talking with Leo Homan here, author of Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. And Leo Homan is going to be speaking at the ACT Cleveland meeting on Monday night, 7 o'clock. If you want to find out more information about that, I encourage you to contact them at actforcleveland.org. That's actforcleveland.org. They can give you some more information. They'll show or contact you back on locations and how to how to get tickets for that. So let me encourage you to do that. And Leo Homan, we're running out of time here. We got about 30 seconds left in the program. And I do want to thank you for joining us. And what's the topic going to be at the ACT meeting on Monday night?
I can go in any direction, really, Al, but I think what we have top of the agenda is this issue of assimilation.
All right. Hey, I'm going to have to cut you off right there because we're out of time. But thanks for calling us, and thanks for listening today. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.